You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." You can have a seat now. Thank you. Let me just confess a sin. Is that okay? I want to confess a sin here. I have borrowed some material for this sermon today, okay? But with the permission of the originator, all right? And let me just say, last Sunday, I was visiting a church, and I rarely ever miss what I do. For those that don't know, I lead children's worship. The people in my congregation, they are typically between the ages of 5 and 12. This is not my genre, all right? Some adults have no sense of humor. I've learned that, okay? No, but I'm glad you're here. But I missed my children's worship services this past Sunday morning. Just this past Sunday morning, I went to visit a church in a small town in northeast Alabama. I bet you've never been there. Anybody ever been to Goshen, Alabama in southern Cherokee County? All right? Y'all need to get out more, by the way. I don't know much. I know a good bit about the Bible, weather, and Alabama geography, all right? Goshen is a small town north of a small town called Piedmont. And it was a very special service that I could not miss. I was called to be there. 30 years ago, on March 27th, 1994, the Goshen United Methodist Church was celebrating Palm Sunday, their morning worship service. They had an Easter drama in progress. At 11:39, an F4 tornado hit the church during the morning worship service. Inside the church, 20 people died. 10 were children, 10 were adults. It was an unspeakable tragedy. The minister of the church, Kelly Clem, her 4-year-old daughter, was killed in front of her. I can't tell you how hard it was. Out of all of the events that I've worked, and I've been here a long time, that one kind of settles in my soul more than most of them. And my friends at Goshen, and I've developed a lot of close personal friends there, they said, "We're going to do a 30-year remembrance, and we'd like for you to speak." And I said, "I'm there." And the truth is, I really didn't come there to hear me talk. Kelly Clem was going to come back and deliver the sermon that morning. I wanted to be there for her and her husband, Dale. Dale and Kelly Clem, they've become good friends, and it was great to see them again. And the sermon that Kelly delivered was awfully powerful. The sermon was called, "Where Was God?" It's a question everybody was asking. After all, a tornado hit a church Palm Sunday morning. Worshippers, children, and 20 were killed. And everybody wanted to know, where was God? And her message was just absolutely stunning. I wrote down a few notes. I just want to share a few quick notes from her message and then talk about you for just a minute. And by the way, I want to say somebody in here needs a blessing today. I don't know who it is. I think we all do. And if you don't, I would like to know why. But let me share some of Kelly's message very quickly. Kelly asked some of the church members that question, "Where was God? Where was God?" She was in the church, but she asked some of the others in the church, "Where was God?" And the answers were incredible. They were all consistent with one another. And I wanted to share a few of the answers with you today from the church members. "Someone carried me out of the sanctuary after it was destroyed. Some stopped and cried with me. Someone rejoiced with me over every spared life. Someone cut up my food and fed me in the hospital. Someone washed the glass and the debris out of my hair. Someone embraced me tenderly when my body was broken. Someone sent Easter baskets to every child at Goshen the following Sunday for Easter. Someone sent stained glass windows, and they're still there, by the way, at the memorial where the church used to sit. Strangers sent money to help people to rebuild the church and to help others that needed things. Kelly said somebody helped us to laugh for the first time. Kelly and Dale, somebody, I want to say they were in Ohio or someplace out of state, they sent them a quilt. A lady's husband had passed away. The quilt was made out of her husband's underwear." And Kelly said, "That's the first time we really laughed after the tragedy." And I could go on and on about her message, but the screaming message was this: God was in the people who did these things. God was there. God was there in the people's hearts that did all of these things. And that's just a few examples. So let me throw it back on you. I would imagine that in a crowd this big, somebody's struggling right now. No, perhaps you didn't have a four-year-old daughter that was killed in a tornado. But I would imagine in a crowd this big, there's somebody that's suffering today. Maybe you just got some bad news from the doctor. At some point, we all will have bad news from the doctor, and you're struggling with health issues. Maybe somebody is struggling with relational issues within your family. Maybe somebody is struggling with mental health issues in your family. And the truth is, we all do. Every family here, we have mental health issues in our families. And if you say you don't, I've got a good sermon on lying. Maybe somebody's struggling with finances. It's tough these days. Life's expensive. And you're in this room today and you're broken, just like Kelly and Dale Klim were broken March 27th, 1994. I remember seeing Kelly deliver the Easter message the following week in the ruins of the church. She was battered and bruised from her wounds from that day, and her wounds were visible. But the truth is, for many of us, our wounds are not visible. There's a good chance you might be suffering right now, and nobody around you knows that you're going through the hardest time of your life. In my challenge, it's to let God work through you. Remember the scripture that I read when I started. It's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. If you need a blessing, you need to bless somebody else. And I know some of you had checked out. I can read a crowd. Trust me, I've been doing this a long time. I can read a crowd. And you're thinking, how in the world can I bless somebody else when right now I'm going through the hardest time of my life? This man doesn't know what I'm going through. Well, God does. I don't. God does. And the truth is, you might think, I can't do it. I don't feel like helping anybody else. Well, if you say you don't feel like blessing somebody else, I have a simple two-word response to that. So what? You don't run your life based on how you feel. You run your life based on the commitment that you made to God, your family, your extended family. And then some people say, well, I don't have any money. I can't help anybody else. Well, yes, you can. If you were to come to me right now, James Spann, what's the one thing I can do for you today? I say the same thing every time. What do you think I say? Pray for me. How much money does that cost? It doesn't cost a dime. It costs a little time. And by the way, time is the greatest equalizer in life. Everybody in this room, we all have 24 hours in a day. And how you spend it determines who you are. The richest man, the richest woman cannot buy another microsecond. I can look at your calendar and learn a lot about you. And I'll just say up front, that's one of my biggest struggles in life is time management. I have not slept since 1973. I'm only 22 years old. This is what you look like when you never sleep, all right? But maybe consider taking a little time that you're spending on you and spending it on somebody else. It doesn't take much. And again, I firmly believe that somebody in this room needs a blessing today. Somebody in here needs a breakthrough now. Maybe it's you, maybe it's all of us, I don't know. But to begin that process, it involves blessing somebody else. In fact, I will ask you to pray this prayer when you go home tonight. Lord, open my eyes and open my ears to the needs of the people around me. Are there hurting people within 5 miles of where you live? Absolutely, and I don't care where you live. There are. And for years and years, I didn't understand this. I was very selfish. I was one of the most selfish people on the planet. You look up selfish in the dictionary, my picture was in there. But some men challenged me to pray that prayer when I was a little older, and it really changed my life, and I'm going to challenge you to do that. So my challenge to you is to find someone you can help. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's somebody lonely in this room right now? Yes, you can be lonely in a crowd. Loneliness is a killer. Some of you know I do weather support for a large college football program in the state. And no, I'm not retiring. Who started this retirement thing? When Coach Saban retired, everybody, James Spann's going to go this week too. What? But I've done weather for them for years and years, weather support. I have to be at every single home football game. And sometimes I'll look out over that massive crowd of 100,000 people. I'll wonder how many lonely people are here today. You can be lonely in a crowd. In a crowd this large, there's somebody here today that's lonely. Maybe you can be a friend to somebody that doesn't have a friend. We desperately need that today. Can you say an encouraging word to somebody? Yes, you can. We live in a very angry society today, full of people that just want to tear everybody else down. Goodness, if you don't believe that, follow me on Facebook, okay? Whoa, it's like, I'll post a picture of a sunset and 5 minutes later they're fighting about Trump and Biden and all this other, guys, it's a sunset, enjoy it. And man, they'll start fighting and cussing at each other, bad words. I mean, some of these people can cuss the horns off a bull that get on that Facebook page. And I'll go look at their Facebook profile, and guess what's smeared all over them? Bible verses and their church affiliation. What have we become? The Bible says to encourage one another daily. That's in Hebrews. It's not me. That's God saying that to us. And maybe we ought to kill the anger for a little bit and look at encouraging other people. Encouraging words make a big difference. You can tell somebody that they look good today. You can tell somebody that you believe in them. You can tell somebody that it's going to be okay. Somebody in your circle needs to hear an encouraging word. My favorite person in the Bible, who do you think it is? Starts with a B. Barnabas, the great encourager. And I think we should look at maybe encouraging more people often. It's little things, guys, little things that you can do to bless somebody else. Doesn't take a lot. Has anybody ever been to a drive-through restaurant here? I know you all have home-cooked meals every evening. In my world, my wife's a great cook, but I don't have time to get home as much as I'd like during the week. I work weekdays basically from 4 a.m. to midnight, and I have to live in drive-through restaurants. Here's a little trick. Look in your rearview mirror next time you're in a drive-through restaurant, and you're going to see somebody behind you, and you will know, that little voice will tell you. You can tell by looking maybe what they're driving, that they're spending their last $3 in a hamburger. Maybe you can tell by the countenance on their face, it's one of the worst days of their life. What you do is go to the drive-thru window and you say, hey, I'm going to pay for mine. And you see the car behind me. I'm going to pay for theirs too. And they'll do that. And here's the fun part. You go hide. I have seen people come up to the drive-thru window and I'll say, hey, just tell them you don't owe me anything. God loves you. I've seen people come up to the drive-thru window and they hear those words. You don't owe me anything. God loves you. Openly weep because somebody they don't know bought them a hamburger. And I know it works. You know why? Somebody did it to me one day. Now, if you ever watch the television stuff at night, we're always smiling. The news starts now. It's going to be a sunny day tomorrow. The forecast coming up in minutes. Stay with us. You know what? We have very bad days too. We do. We're like you. We have financial problems. We have mental health issues in our families. We struggle just like you. I was having a bad day. Everything was going wrong. It was late. I had to eat something. There's a little Arby's by the TV station down there. I pulled up at the drive-thru window, and guess what they said? You don't owe me anything. God loves you. I cried. If you did that for me, you changed my life. You changed my life by buying me a $4 roast beef sandwich. And what had happened, I'd got so hung up in my own world and my own problems and my own selfishness that I was forgetting why I'm here. I'm here to help other people. That's why we're all here. That's why we are left here. I would assume that most people that show up at a church on a Thursday at noon, you're believers. And some of you maybe not be, and that's great. I'm glad you're here. I really am. But think back when you became a Christian. God didn't take you to heaven on a chariot of fire. He left you here. And why did he do that? He did that for ministry work, to help others. So that's my main message today. I look back on what Kelly shared on Sunday. It was so powerful. It was just really overwhelming to me. And her question in the sermon was, where was God? God was in the hearts of those people, those precious people doing ministry work to those people at Goshen, where they suffered that tornado, where 20 people died in the church, 70 others were injured. The church building was gone. This is not a wealthy part of the state. And they came in and they did things like they held somebody's hand. They pulled them out of the rubble. They did the simple things I've talked about. And so my challenge for me is to find opportunities to do that in my life. And that's my challenge for you. The bottom line is this. If you need a blessing, you go bless somebody else. And I hope for all of us that the prayer is that we'll find somebody we can bless, especially this weekend. This is Holy Week. This is Easter week. Tomorrow's Good Friday. And we're coming up on Easter Sunday. It's a special time. To me, this is the most important part of the year for Christians. Christmas is marvelous, but I teach our kids that Easter is much more important, I believe, in my opinion. And this is the time where we should show the love of Christ to others in a tangible way. And when you do that, you'll be blessed. And I will warn you, it might be somebody that you don't want to help when you pray that prayer. It might be somebody that doesn't look like you. Maybe it's somebody that doesn't think like you or vote like you or whatever. But the truth is, that's who Jesus hung out with. With the outcasts and the ones that nobody else wanted to minister to. So I think the world will be a lot better place. Again, we're in a very tedious part of society right now. The anger, I've never seen it. Listen, I lived through the 60s, the Cuban Missile Crisis and all these things that happened in the 60s. And here we are. And again, it's a very tedious time. But I think as believers, we can really do our job by doing simple ministry work for others. Let me pray for you folks. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the chance to gather together. I thank you for the resurrection of Christ and what this week means. Father, I pray that for all of us, me, every man, every woman, every child in this room, that you will open our eyes and open our ears to the needs of the people around us and give us the courage to go help others. And for those that have the nerve to do that in this room, to bless others, Father, I know that you'll bless them. Father, if anybody in this room is struggling today, I pray that you will bless them in a way that is so powerful this week, that they'll know that it came directly from you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today and for the food we're about to receive. In Christ's name, we ask all of these things. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.